begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we beseech thee, Lord, that thou'st be gracious to us and fill us with a measure of thy Spirit this afternoon, that we might, Lord, look into thy word and be fed richly and abundantly by the reading of thy word and by the meditation thereof, that we would be strengthened in our faith. And Lord, that we might have this abiding faith, Lord, that with thee is mercy and with thee is love, and that thou wilt sustain us, Lord, come what may in our lives. And so we lean upon thee. Bless us through thy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For this afternoon, let's turn to John's Gospel and read from chapter number 5 and the first 18 verses.
Nađeno je Evanđelje po Jovanu, 5. glava, 1. 18 brojeva.
After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had himself had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed, and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. That is truly a blessing that we have as God's children to kneel before him and pour out our desires and our supplications before him, and knowing that he does hear our prayers, and he in his own way and in a beautiful way answers our prayers as we bring our petitions and prayers and supplications before him. That is a blessing that we as God's children richly enjoy. And when God does answer our prayers, let's not forget to then turn again and thank the Lord for answering our prayers as we bring them to him. This chapter that we've read. I don't believe we've read it for quite some time here from the pulpit, but it is a very familiar chapter to all of us, I believe, and there are some truths that we can take from this scripture that we've read that perhaps in this reading it's a twofold topic. One of being that of this man that was impotent, that was healed, and the beauty that goes with that truth and that story as it had happened, and then also the controversy over the Sabbath and what the Sabbath stands for. So as we make a beginning, let's consider first what transpired here at the Pool of Bethesda. And we know that here Jesus had been traveling quite a bit. He was in Samaria, and he had spent some time there. Then from Samaria, he went to Galilee, and he was there for a short time. And then from Galilee, then he went down south here to Jerusalem. And he's enters into Jerusalem here, and it's part of the Feast of the Jews that was happening here at this time. And Jesus makes his approach and entry into the city, and he's there. And the Bible says here that near Jerusalem, one of the gates, there was this pool that was called Bethesda. And a special thing happened here. And as I was reading this earlier, the thoughts came to me that quite a few miracles were happening at this time, because not only was Jesus was here upon this earth and healing those that were blind, halt, deaf, mute, that had died, and all those other healings that he had done, but there was also this angel that came down here to this pool of Bethesda and stirred the waters as the Lord directed it, and then there was this healing that took place, that whoever first would enter into this pool after it was stirred by the angel would be healed of whatever disease he had. And so it was more than one source, Jesus and this angel as he came here, that that there was healing in this land at this time. Not sure how often the angel came to stir the waters, but it was it must have been frequent enough that the people thought to stay there by the pool waiting for that stirring to happen. And so that's the scene. That's where we're at here in this reading. And then it says, and it introduces a man that had been there, a man that had been infirm for 38 years, a very, very long time. We would consider that almost to be two generation times, if we consider a generation to be about 20 years. And so for a long time, this man had known infirmities. And the infirmity, whatever it was so severe that he wasn't very mobile, at least not to be quick in mobility. And he was lying, and he had been there in a long time in that case. And Jesus notes this man as he's entering into Jerusalem, and as he's at the gate here and at this pool, and he notes this man, and he says specifically to this man, "Wilt thou be made whole?" So Jesus is offering the opportunity to this man, this impotent man, to be made whole. Whereas in the previous chapter, when he was in Galilee, there was a nobleman that had a son that was sick, very nigh unto death. And this nobleman asked Jesus that Jesus would speak the word and that his son would be healed. And Jesus' response to that was, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." And so it was that here Jesus had spoken this to the nobleman, not Jesus taking the initiative, but the nobleman taking the initiative, asking Jesus. But now in this case, with the impotent man here at the Pool of Bethesda, Jesus took the initiative, and Jesus reached out to this man and asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And so the impotent man answers him and says, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." And so, as I mentioned, this man had limited ability to be mobile and to make his own way. And so it was that he says, I have no man. In other words, there was no friend or no one that was reaching out to him and helping him and going to stay there or have a rotation of people that would stay there with him perhaps to place him into the water after the angel stirred the water. So this was a different scenario as to when the man that was sick of the palsy, and he had four friends that tried to get this man that was sick of the palsy to Jesus in the house, but the house was so crowded and so full that they couldn't make their way in through the door, so they let this man down in through the roof. And so it was in that case that the man had friends. But in this case, this impotent man, he says, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in. And so it was a very difficult situation for him, and he had been suffering in this state of infirmity for 38 years. Again, a very, very long time. Very difficult life the man lived. So Jesus responds to him and says, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And it says, immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. What a beautiful, miraculous healing that took place instantaneously. That the 38 years that he had suffered is now a new day. Now everything's different for this man that was infirm. Everything's different. It's a new world now. Everything's completely different. He has mobility. He can move about. He has his faculties. He's able. He's healthy. And now life is new for him. It's all new. And for those that had dipped into this pool of Bethesda before this impotent man, life was new for them as well. They had been healed of their diseases. They had been healed of their sicknesses. And life was new for them. Physically. For us, spiritually, when we are born again, we are baptized. And we are baptized in the pool here at church. And we rise from that pool and we are new spiritually. Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sin, not the pool, but Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sin, and we walk then in newness of life. All things are become new unto us, as the scriptures say. A verse that I really appreciate that captures this well is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so it was, as it was for these people that physically dipped themselves into this pool of Bethesda, life was new for them. All things became new. Now they no longer had the necessity to reach out to others and have others help them. No longer did they have to beg, but now they could be of assistance. Now they could be a contributor to their society. And all things became new for them physically. For us, when Christ touches our heart, and we are called, and we respond to that call, and we repent, and we confess our sin, and we walk in this newness of life, we are baptized, then behold, all things are become new for us as well. But even perhaps in a greater state, in that we can have a sense of peace and joy and love and having that mercy, no longer any condemnation, but having the mercy of the Lord in our hearts, that in many respects is much greater than any physical healing that can transpire. And so this is what transpired. It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story that Jesus came along as this man who had been suffering for 38 years. Jesus comes along and asks him, Will you be whole? Do you want to be whole? And so spiritually also, Jesus comes and he asks us, Do you want to be whole? Do you want to be free from your sin? Do you want to be free from condemnation? Do you want to be free from death and the darkness that goes with all that? Wilt thou be made whole? And so maybe that can be a thought on this first section in this reading that we had this afternoon, is Jesus is asking, Do you want to be whole? Do you want to be free from sin? Do you want to feel that peace and that joy in the light and the love of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ? Do we want to believe that? Jesus is saying, rise and walk in newness of life. And so in verse number 9, we read, "And immediately the man was whole and took up his bed and walked." Again, life became new for him. But the verse doesn't end there, and it says, "And on the same day was the Sabbath." So enter the controversy. Now, as most stories have, is there's a challenge. There's something, some difficulty that arises. It was all beautiful. It was all beautiful up until this time. This man was whole. This man could walk for the first time, perhaps in 38 years. He could walk. His ankle bones, his muscles, his sense of balance was so matured immediately that he was even able to carry a burden of a bed as he walked. Immediately, this man was made whole. But on the same day with the Sabbath, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." And so this man answers back to them and says, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." So when these Jews hear that, they don't hear that he was made whole. They don't hear that. They just heard that somebody, whoever this individual was, but somebody told him to take up his bed and walk. The response should have been, "Oh, you were sick? Oh, you were infirm? Oh, you weren't able to walk for 38 years and now you're whole?" That's what the response should have been, but no, the response was, "It's a Sabbath day, don't carry your bed." Very harsh in that way. So they ask him, "What man is it that said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself, a multitude being that in that place. This man was unaware. This man was unaware of who Jesus was. And again, this being a feast of the Jews that was happening at this time in Jerusalem, there was a larger crowd there, and that's perhaps why one of the reasons why this impotent man didn't know who Jesus was. And so afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." And so we might think, well, Jesus is speaking here pretty clearly, something that would be really heavy, in that if he were to return to sin, a worse thing would happen to him. It was pretty bad of itself that he was infirm for that long of a period of time. And so, but Jesus is saying, be careful, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So as we walk in newness of life, we need to take heed to our ways that the love of God abides in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That would be very prominent and have the preeminence in our hearts and in our lives, that in everything we think about, everything that we do, that the love of God would continue to be there in our hearts, that we would not lapse back into sin. The Bible makes that very clear. In Hebrews chapter 6, it says, For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew themselves again to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Likewise, later in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, the Bible says, "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." And it goes on and speaks about Moses' law and how there was a severe punishment there, but he's saying if we do despite to the spirit of grace, it would be even more severe. So in that, Jesus is saying that a major event has happened. There was cleansing. and sin no more, and neither should we sin anymore, but that God should always have the preeminence in our hearts and in our lives. And so Jesus brings out this truth, and perhaps these verses bring out this truth even in good support of it. And it's something that we need to very much consider. So the man departs and tells the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. These Jews had no love for the Lord. And Jesus says that to them later in this chapter very, very clearly in verse number 42, which we did not read. For I know you that you have not the love of God in you. The Jews did not have the love of God in them. So they didn't experience this wholeness, this cleansing as this man had physically. And they wanted to take vengeance on Jesus simply because Jesus had told this man to take up his bed and walk on the Sabbath day. And it was so severe of a response from the Jews that the punishment didn't match the crime. Jesus simply told this man to rise and take up his bed and walk, but the response to that, the Jews were persecuting him and wanted to slay him. They took it to the extreme. And so let's consider what the Bible says here about the Sabbath, and that we would understand more about that. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, it says, the Bible says, this is part of the Ten Commandments, the Bible says here, and this is what the Jews were referring to, and this is what was the basis of their understanding and why they were so adamant that this man that was healed should not be taking his bed and walking on the Sabbath day. So the Bible here says, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy maidservant, nor thy manservant, nor thy ox, nor thy ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out hence through a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. And so the Jews were referring back to this truth that the Lord had spoken, and it was part of the Ten Commandments. But they didn't realize what the Sabbath really was for. Jesus says that the Sabbath was for man and not man for the Sabbath. Jesus, on multiple occasions throughout the gospel, encountered this controversy over the Sabbath with the Jews. And so Jesus says that to the Jews when they were asking about why would the disciples pick corn and eat it on the Sabbath day. Jesus responds and says, the Sabbath was made for man and not the man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Jesus was Lord of all things, and Jesus was Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, that we would rest, that the Sabbath would serve us, that we would not be driven into a pattern of continuous work. But the Sabbath was made that we might receive strength by the rest that we might have. And so Jesus, in another occasion, when he's disputing with the Jews about the Sabbath, he says, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Don't you take your animals and don't you bring those to water? Is it okay to do that for the animals? And then so Jesus continues on and says, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Wouldn't that make the healing that much more meaningful? That the healing of this woman who had this infirmity for 18 years, doesn't that make it even more special that she was healed on the Sabbath day? A special day? Likewise, in this case, this impotent man, doesn't that make it more special that it was the Sabbath day that he was healed? That makes it special. And in another case where he was healing on the Sabbath day, he says, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him to these things. And again, Jesus speaks and says, "If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day?" The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so these Jews here, they were very legalistic. And they were going to keep the Sabbath day come what may. It would be okay if they take their ox out of the ditch. It would be okay to do other things, but for somebody to receive healing and mercy on the Sabbath day was not to happen. They became too legalistic. And in another case, I don't want to belabor the point, but I want to bring out one more location where this happened. When Jesus had healed, or when the disciples were going through the cornfield and eating the corn, Jesus says, "But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." So again, Jesus here is teaching, he's the Lord of the Sabbath day. And what the Sabbath day is about is mercy. In the bigger picture, it's about mercy. That's what the Sabbath day was about. All these healings happened, all these miracles were happening on the Sabbath day. It made it more special. The Sabbath is for man and not man for the Sabbath. Man is not to serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath is supposed to serve the man. And so Jesus is saying, if you would have learned what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Jesus came to share mercy. And it wasn't so much about the sacrifice you made, that you wouldn't make a journey that would be longer than that would be appropriate by your measure on the Sabbath day. And so they were livid. They were in a rage, and they persecuted him and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Jesus is saying that what God has done to this point, I am also doing. We are working in conjunction together, and that enraged the Jews even further. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. They missed the point. They missed the point. A man in their midst, a man who had been sick for 38 years, a man whom they certainly had seen from time to time over the years, they weren't so concerned that he was healed. They missed the point. Jesus came to give mercy and not sacrifice. Again, God is not so interested in the sacrifices that we make for the Sabbath day as he is for the mercy that we would have, even as he had mercy and came to show mercy and had healed so many and had brought the way of salvation to all mankind. In verse 36 of this chapter, it says, "But I have a greater witness than that of John." John testified and witnessed of what Jesus Christ was, and that what he was, the message that he would be bringing. And Jesus is saying, I have a greater witness than that of John the Baptist. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. The man was healed. That's a testament that God had sent Jesus. The nobleman from the previous chapter, his son was healed, and the nobleman believed that. And it was a testimony that Jesus came from God. And over there's this testimony and this witness. God is witnessing, I am with Jesus, I am with Jesus, over and over through all the miracles, and the Jews missed it. And even to this day, there are not only Jews, but many that will not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We have been made clean. We have been made whole. We are to walk in newness of life. Life ought to be much, much different for us now as we live for Him, as we are His servants and we do whatever He would have us to do, that we would be molded in His image to do what He would have us to do. And we rejoice in that. And as this impotent man, who was impotent and now healed, as he experienced controversy, so will we. It'll be no different. We'll receive controversy. There will be those that will say, oh, let's save the earth or let's save the whales. No, God wants us to save our souls. God wants us to save our souls. That's what God wants. Yes, we are to be respectful to the earth. Yes, we are not to deliberately harm God's creation. We are not deliberately to litter and make the earth worse than it is, yes. But more importantly than saving the earth, Mother Earth as they call it, or saving whales, God wants us to save our souls. God wants us to save our souls. We've all come across individuals such as that. We had an opportunity one time to speak to somebody who was passing out brochures and saying, save the whales. I just shared with them in return that it's certainly much more important to save our souls. Let's save our souls. That's what will last throughout all eternity. May God grant unto us that we would have a merciful heart, that we would walk in newness of life, that we would give God the honor and the glory in everything, and to remember that which is eternal. Amen.
Every decision we make is based upon a desire that we have or something that we know in the past that leads us to a decision that we're going to make. We never just make a random who cares decision. The brother mentioned in his prayer about being at a crossroads. So when we are at a crossroads, no one chooses a road not knowing. If you're going somewhere and you come to a crossroads, do I go left or right? You have to know what's at the end of this road. If you have to know where you're going, will that take me to where I want to go? And then you make a decision based on that. And so you, my dear friend, are on the what Christ calls the wide road that leads to destruction. The wide gate. And the intersection you faced today, that intersection is the cross. And you're going to make a choice today. That's your free will. You will make a choice today based upon your absolute desire today. Do I get off at the intersection of the cross off of this road? Because I know where this road is going to take me. It's taking me to eternal damnation. Satan has been judged, and I am being judged with him. If I continue on this road, the cross takes me in Christ. Which way do I want to go? And we're going to choose. And we're going to make that decision today. Jesus came to this man. And he sees him. And he asked him, wilt thou be made whole? He asked him that because he wanted to give this man a hope. That man could have stood there and said, no thanks. There's no hope for me. Get away from me. You're mocking me. But more than that, he wanted this man to take his eyes off of that pool. He said, look at me. I am your hope. My dear one, if your hope is in your school, in your job, in your get rich quick, in something, I want to get married first. I want to do something first. And then I'll look to Jesus. Jesus is saying, I am your only hope. Now, you're at the crossroads. Make the decision now. This man was made whole. He walked. And he went into the temple. Apparently he's looking for God. He knew that this man that faced him, that told him, take up your bed and walk, was far superior than the priests in the temple. Those priests did nothing for him for 38 years. Nothing. So he knows that this man that faced him has an authority above them. And he said, the man that told me to take up my bed and walk, he that made me whole, he told me to take up my bed and walk. And Jesus meets him in the temple. And he says, now he's going to deal with his sin. He says, go and sin no more. He made him whole spiritually. And he says, go and sin no more. Dear ones, do we look for Jesus? The man was looking for God, and he knew he had to go to the temple. But he couldn't find God unless he knew who Jesus was. And he met Jesus, and he knew God. And so, dear ones, they hated him. They hate him. They sought to kill him. And Jesus is telling them that the Sabbath, as the brother pointed out, the Sabbath was not a day of inaction like they had added all their rules to it. No, it's a day of satisfaction for work that is completed. That day was polluted when sin came into the world. And so today, Jesus is asking you, my dear friend, wilt thou be made whole? Take your eyes off of everything and look at me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.